another episode of Mecco Coffee and Reason, where every sip is a moment of reflection and every conversation is an exploration of the human experience. In the rhythm of the coffee beans grinding and the warmth of the brew cup, we find a space to connect, share, and reason together. Welcome to episode 6 of the Adversity series of this podcast. I'm your host, Nurse Douglas Atkinson. And with me is your co-host, Sharona McKenzie. As we embark on this caffeinated journey of dialogue and discovery, let's center ourselves with our podcast mantra: brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. Sipping with us today is the pastor of the Farm New Testament Church of God. This man of God has been called to ministry by the Holy Spirit and is dedicated to serving. This man of God has been actively involved for many years in various capacities. You may find him in the Christian ministry, administration, or even in a public speaking space. This man of God is happily married to the beautiful Kevian Francis Bartley and firmly believes that if you are faithful to God, God will definitely take care of you. Sharing the platform today is Reverend Welton Bartley, a pastoral and a psychological counselor, a theology lecturer, and a community service chaplain. Mr. Bartley will be sharing with us today his journey of overcoming spiritual, financial, and emotional adversity. Reverend Bartley, thank you for joining us on the platform. It is an absolute pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so very much for having me, Nurse Douglas. I'm delighted to be here. I'm excited. I love what I'm sensing.
I am particularly very interested in what you have to share with us today, your journey of spiritual, financial, and emotional adversity. That's quite a lot, quite a mouthful.
Certainly, I look forward to sharing the little that I have, and pray that it will certainly be of benefit to, you know, your listeners.
I'd like to start off with, at around what age were you baptized?
I got saved and baptized at around age 9, 10 thereabout, when I was still in primary school.
That's pretty early for many would say that Pitney, we are 9 years old, don't know nothing about God. What am I baptized for? They don't know God for themselves. So that's pretty intriguing. Did you sustain that relationship with God for until this time?
Oh, yes, I did, actually. And I did so grappling with the many adversities, but I did.
So for your spiritual hardships, did they start around the same time you got baptized, or did they start long after?
Oh, well, not very long after, no, Tamara. Really not long after, because one of the things I've learned, right, the moment you answer the call, or the moment you surrender your life to God, you are actually now in a position where you will now be faced with adversities, right? Especially spiritual adversity, of course. So not very long after. And as a matter of fact, if I can recall, these adversities were not so much of what an adult would be faced with, right? Because, you know, adult life is a different kind of life. But where peer pressure is concerned, you know, in school peer pressure, you know, the bullying, the name calling, and such the like. So right after, of course, not very long after either.
Were you aware that that is what you are currently facing, or is it after years of experience and reflecting and saying that, you know, say this middle I got you when I was younger, or you were actively aware of it at that point in time?
I was aware of it, Tamara, to be honest with you. But guess what happened now? We never really call it adversity. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. We had a different term for it.
So we call it probably like, just say, you know, problems and our tests.
Our temptations,
and our troubles. You know what I'm saying? In our colloquial terms, we call it crosses. You understand? Call it crosses. So when being an adult now, you know, reflecting, say those were some of the adversities I was faced with, you know, during my earlier years of being a child of God, being a Christian.
What led you to being baptized that young? Was it a special encounter with God, or was it because of your role models? You know, sometimes our mothers, our fathers are those who we look up to and emulate and say, you know, say, mommy, I serve God, I'm going to do it too. What exactly was your push towards God?
Okay, great. Thank you for that. All that you mentioned a while ago played a crucial role in accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at that tender age. But may I register to you that, in all honesty, it was more so of a personal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a personal conviction. Going to Sunday school every Sunday and hearing the word of the Lord, understanding that I was created in the image of God, and being created in the image of God, you know, suggest that, hey, I was born to serve the Lord. I was born to follow Jesus Christ. And that really helped me. So along with the many encouragements, along with mommy taking me to church and, you know, going to church with others and all of that, you know, a part of the whole cultural domain as well. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, it was more so of a personal thing, because from that tender age, you know, Tamro, I knew God wanted me to be a pastor, because I can recall, as a matter of fact, growing up attending Sunday school, you know, the Sunday school teacher would ask, what is it that you want to become? What is it that this person wants to become? And, you know, it was the typical, the pilots and the doctors and the lawyers and the nurses and the teachers and all of that. But for some strange reason, I burst out a pastor, you know. And over time, one of the things that you've realized, if you observe the in group dynamics or in developmental psychology, you'll realize that children will change their profession over time, what they want to become over time, right? So this year it's a lawyer, next year they're wearing a police uniform, right? I've never changed, really. You know, I've never changed the thought.
Or the feeling. I was in NS pants and a gentleman.
Look here, it's always in my DNA that, listen, God wants me to be a pastor. Yes. So it's from a personal conviction.
That's really interesting, because based on experience, as a child, you don't know much about God. You know, say, yes, him dead fear, you know, say he forgives your sins. You know that it is right to serve the Lord and to go to church and sing and pray. But based on what I have seen, not many children understand much about God, but it seems that like you had much more exposure. Is that the case?
Well, yes. Yes. And that kind of exposure leads to what we call a kind of passion, Tamra, to know more about God as a young child. And one of the things, you'll agree with me, and I believe it's the text is Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, where the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, right? So indeed, it might not be a regular thing or a popular thing, right? Or a everyday thing, but God calls children as well. He does. As a matter of fact, Jesus started his ministry at the age of
12. Great, great, great. Since you were, based on my understanding and in my eyes, you were very much equipped for this journey, right? So was it very hard or difficult to navigate Christianity at such a younger age? And did it get harder when you became a teenager? Because we know that where puberty takes place, you know, the decision of who I am, where I want to be, you know, what's that word? What's that? The attractions and all of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of changes take place during puberty. Did any of your spiritual battles increase during that time?
Right. Well, one of the things, Tamra, is this. You see, at that tender age, moving into my teenage years, into adolescence, right? The people around me sanctioned, affirmed, you know, the call of God upon my life as well. And I had that kind of support. So it's like that kind of support, you know, held me accountable, right? So as I navigated through the fierce battles of identity exploration, self-esteem, peer pressure, I came across all of those, Tamra, all of those. But in all honesty, I just believe it was the strengthened will of God for my life. I did not submit to any of those, you know, as simple as when you talk about school in a class. Mm-hmm. No. When you talk about sitting at the back and doing foolishness in the classroom, no. When you talk about as simple as, you know, when the teacher leaves the class, walk in the corridors or leave in the classroom, no. When you talk about being indisciplined, being rude, you know, being boisterous in the streets, no. I did not struggle where those are concerned. As a matter of fact, what I struggled with, Tamra, was being bullied for being disciplined. Right. You know, I was robbed for respecting society and upholding moral values and principles. Mm-hmm. You know, I was spoken to by several peers and, you know, even adults too, in a mean way because of the values that I held on to, like being labeled the nerdy one, the one who, you know, acts as if. You know, all those kind of negative vibe, you know, them sound the negative energies, them, you know, well, for negative energy. But what that did for me at that tender age, Tamra, was even though it hurt my feelings, of course, you being a human, of course, wondering, boy, at some point, am I doing the right thing? But in reflection and still going to church, I learned that. It's because I was special. And I learned that it's because there was just something different about me that they, you know, probably didn't have mm-hmm. or was not able to execute or carry out. You feel mm-hmm. me? So I came across that kind of pressure, not to submit to them and not submitting to them. You know, I was bullied. I was robbed. I tell you that much. I was called names. Right? I was looked at differently. On the contrary, though, you have, you know, persons who supported me and big me up and, you know, give me regards and respect and, you know, send them a prayer for me and encouragement to keep up the work, the good work, young man, and you name it. You know, yeah. I'm a push through. So whilst they were, you know, whilst the adversities rather increased, I believe the Spirit of the Lord would have also blessed, you know, individuals around me to encourage me to navigate in the midst of all that was happening at that age. But I came across all of those where I was never the one to really struggle where having girlfriend and stuff like that is concerned. Like those things I stayed away from, for, you know, the relationship kind of thing. You know, I learned so much in church and, you know, what can really happen and, you know, taking on relationship. And also, you know, at that tender age can really, you know, put you into serious adversities too. And, you know, ripple effects and the consequences that those things come with. And, you know, the possibilities of, you know, getting into trouble, being engaged in sexual activities and such the like. So I had my own share of struggle. The troubles increased, the adversities increased, but I navigated quite well. Quite well.
That is actually very, very admirable. Where a strong foundation for a child in church is concerned, not a lot of children have that. Not a lot of children have that. They don't have the teachings. They don't have the backbone, and it is not to disrespect anyone. And they just don't have the support either. So what I do want to know, yes, you had the support, yes, you had the teaching, but what exactly did you put in place to overcome all of that? Or what were your strategies to move through each stage one step at a time?
All right. Good question, Tamra. But you see, before I was able to sufficiently put things in place, Tamra, and you know, develop that deep understanding of how to overcome or navigate through my adversities, I had to lean on the wisdom, on the knowledge, right? On the understanding of those who were set over me, if you understand mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say here. Because the truth is, I wasn't, you know, that strong in the sense of balancing on my own or understanding how the different strategies or techniques or methodologies as it relates to navigating. So I had to rely heavily on, say, for example, my Sunday school teacher who was, you know, my right hand. And I by no means of fear or anything or shame, I call her name, Sister Verona Drummond, right? Mm-hmm. And I can recall what happened, you know, in my teenage years, as well as, you know, my primary education life. She was there, who offered the kind of encouragement and support, you know, that I needed. She saw greatness. She saw me. She understood me. And she mentored me. You feel me? Where there were faults and, you know, bad habits and certain practices creeping in, you know, she would be there to help me to navigate. Because at the end of the day, I didn't understand the whole, in a profound way, the strategies and methods of how to overcome adversity. So basically, she was my method. If you understand what I'm saying.
I was about to say, she was your strategy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. She was my strategy. I relied on her heavily too, right? And therefore, she helped me to navigate through that time, that period, that early phase of my Christian journey and personal life, right? As an adult, right? As a grown man, as a husband, as a pastor, big up the married people there. As a brother, as a son, as a friend, as an individual, Tamra, what helps me? How do I overcome? What strategies do I use to really overcome adversities today? And I must submit to you and, you know, to your co-host and your listeners that we cannot go wrong. Firstly, where prayer is concerned, Tom, I tell you that much. Prayer is the bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is the foundation. And maybe you're going to ask, how did you come by this, Pastor? Why prayer, the bedrock? Even if you're going to seek support, Tamra, you need to seek the right support. And prayer needs to guide you, yeah, or direct you where the right support is concerned. So prayer for me.
As a young Christian in your past life, how did you know that God was listening to you? How did you know that, okay, he's listening to what I have to say and he's going to come through for me?
It is as simple as this, you know. How do I know that God was listening? God listens and responds through various means and ways, right? And as a child of God, at a tender age, I learned that I cannot put God into a box. So guess what happened? How do I know? Because when I read church on a Sunday morning, the very thing that I prayed about, the Lord spoke through the pastor, through the Sunday school teacher. The Lord will speak through a friend. The Lord will speak through my mentors to speak to my heart. That's how I knew. Because I learned from a tender age as well that we are the mouthpiece of God. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And the Lord uses people to help people. So I that's how I knew, because people spoke to me. Right. And the things I as a matter of fact, specifically about the things I actually prayed about. Not only that, Mackenzie, the word of the Lord speaks to me himself through his holy scriptures. Right. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. Right. And the word was with God, and the word took on flesh. So guess what? I understood God's divine revelation, and I got his answers even through his word. So that's how I knew. Prayer was always my guide, right? In fact, going through adversity, what is that I really pray about? Because the truth is, sometimes it's like you can't even pray. That's just the truth, and we have to be human here. Sometimes you're lost for words because of a level of adversity that you're going through, or the kind of pressure we really face. You understand what I'm saying, nurse? Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes you're lost for words. You don't even know what to say. But at the point when you find a few words and you can utter them unto the Lord, what is it that you say? What is it that you ask for? What is it that you really need? Right? And in my prayers, Tamra, I continue to pray. Even today, I pray for clarity. In the midst of my adversities, I pray for clarity. What do I mean by that? I want to understand God's will for me in the midst of my adversity.
You mentioned that you pray in the midst of your adversities for God to know his, for God to show you his will. Was it something that you came by on your own, as in the thought of asking God, or was it something that you learned over time during Bible studies or Sunday school, or something that your teacher said to you that, hey, when you're going through this, this is what you should look out for or ask God for?
To be all honest with you, Tamara, this is something I've learned over time. Yes, this is something I've learned over time. Oftentimes, going through adversity or, you know, adversities, it's like we want a particular thing to soothe the soul or to soothe the flesh, you know, just to soothe the pain that you're going through at the moment, mm-hmm. right? And to just to get over with it, right? But is that God's will for you in the midst of the adversity, Tamara, right? And the truth is, I used to ask the Lord, get me out of this now. God, me want to come out of this now. And I used to pray like that, Lord, take this away. I mean, it's only natural to ask him to take away the pain, to yes. take away the adversity. The truth. Yeah, man, to take away the old crosses.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. But when I look at it this way, going through university, Tamara, you had to burn the midnight oil. You had to study hard. You ball some days you throw up your hands. Some days you just could not be bothered, right? But you bore through it because you just could not quit. You just could not throw up 3 years when you were at the final year or the fourth year. You just could not do that. You had to. And why did you go through it, Tamara? Why did you withstand the pressures of university? The pressure, why do you withstand the pressure of being a married woman, being a wife? Why? Because at the end of the day, you know what lies ahead. You have an idea. You can prognosticate the possibilities, you know, the cherry on top moment. Not true. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Definitely.
Right? And that is why you go through. And in the same manner, you go through your adversity because you know that there's something that you need to learn. There's something that you need to know. You need to be shaped as well. I wonder if I know something. You see this adversity thing, Tamara. It's a big thing, you know, because whilst we go through adversity, Tamara, adversity helps to shape us. Because sometimes it's a matter of indiscipline. We're so indisciplined. We're so wayward, right? And the truth is, if you understand adversity in its various contexts, you will understand that as for me as well, adversity helps to shape me and to shape me into the man that I am. Adversity is, as a matter of fact, Tamara, has taught me how to pray and is still teaching me how to pray. Just as how today, going through adversity, I learned how to pray for clarity, wisdom, you know, patience. You know, which is really endurance, you know, because you have to pray for that too. And like we mentioned earlier, God's will. What is it that God wants me to know? Who is it that God wants me to be, right? Where is it that God wants me to go? And most importantly, I always ask myself the question, God, who do you have on my list next to speak to? Because you see, anytime I encounter a kind of adversity, Tamara, I'm telling you that I'm going to do ministry to someone. Yeah, and I need to speak to that person, not to impose my experiences on them, but to speak from a place of personal experience where adversity is concerned.
So my question for you, what about those who don't know that adversity is here to teach them something? Because you were fortunate enough to have such a solid foundation to stand on that your spiritual literacy, it literally took you through those years, even through all of the other adversities. But what about those who don't know that adversity is here to teach them something, but they are ready to get rid of it all?
Powerful, powerful question, Tamara. And I agree with you that my foundation certainly contributed to where I'm at today, right? But the truth is also, and I've realized this as a pastor, as a leader, right, as an individual, there are many young adults today, there are many people, right? A lot of people who really don't understand that adversity is there to shape them, to help them, you know, to mold them. And you will agree with me also that some are aware, but refuse to submit to mm-hmm. what adversity, you know, can do and, you know, will do for them, right? And in cases like these, when we see these individuals, you know, we come to the knowledge that they're struggling, it is important that we respond as best as we possibly can, Tamara. And that is why I believe we're on this platform this evening, you know, trying to reach those who need to understand that adversity, you know, plays an integral role in their life. We're shaping them to be a better version of themselves is concern, right? But to really say that, how do we put this? To really just look at a person and to say, this is what adversity can do for you. It's kind of tedious, if you understand what I'm saying. What is important is that when we recognize these challenges, right, we should respond to them, and not just that, like we're doing now, providing a platform for those who are ignorant to the benefits of adversities. You understand what I'm saying? Because to do a one-on-one thing, it can be difficult. You know, to pinpoint can be difficult, Tamara.
And dangerous as well, because everyone faces the same adversity to learn the same thing at the end.
That is it. So when we provide an open forum, you know, a general space, an open setting, you know, to share what adversities, you know, can do in a positive way, then they can come to the fullness, you know, to that knowledge and understanding. And one of the place, Tamara, that I believe we can share this is in the pulpit. When we raise that text, the Holy Scriptures, Tamara, and share how we can overcome, you know, using the scriptures along with other materials that brilliant people wrote.
Just as you mentioned, overcoming, a part of what you wanted to share with us was emotional adversity. I recall you mentioning in high school when you were bullied because of your spiritual stance and your morals.
Yes.
Was that when the emotional adversity had started, or was it in university?
In a great sense at that time, as well as university as well, in college as well, because that took an emotional toll on me. You know, you question your identity, wondering if you ought to be this person or that person, wondering if you're too much of a softy, wondering if it is a bad thing, you know, being one who really loves Jesus, wondering if it is okay to, you know, be going to church every Sunday, be seen going to church. So, you know, wondering if you're attractive, if the spiritual life makes you attractive. You get what I'm trying to say here? You know,
definitely.
It provokes your self-confidence as well, you know, and sometimes you feel like a weak link, bro. You know, it made me feel like a weak link at times, right? And well, Tamara, listen, I believe that this platform, you know, is for us to be real, right?
Yes.
And to authentically share how we really overcame. In university, the emotional adversity was there as well. In college, you know, you become so emotional when the financial adversity kicks in. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing, Nurse Douglas, is that, you see, there's an interlock where the adversities are concerned. It's like a ripple effect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You see, mm-hmm. the financial adversities, when they are not being resolved, mm-hmm. pushes you into a serious emotional crisis.
Though not a lot of persons may see it this way, but it's so beautiful mm-hmm. to see yes. how one adversity can link to yes. another, and of to course. See how solving one of your adversities can just solve all this. The others.
With me, Tamara, the truth is, when the financial, because I had a serious financial adversity going through college. That was rough. That bothered me in an emotional way, where I experienced emotional adversity. And what that did was affected my spiritual life, because being so emotional, Tamara, mm-hmm. I wanted to segregate myself. I wanted to just dismiss things. I wanted just to be emotional, you know, mm-hmm. and emotional in the sense whereby I felt like I did not want to pray. That's what I felt. All I wanted to do was get some sleep, take a dose here, you know, sulk myself into some unwanted and distressing music, right? Some depressing songs. And as soon as the song ends, I feel like, no, this should not end here. I put it on repeat. You know, because you become so emotionally disturbed and broken.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritually, sure, you don't want to read any scriptures. You know, you don't want to go to church. And it's just the reality. It's just the reality.
That is true, you know, that is so true. What I really want us to understand, right? After you have been faced with your emotional and your financial adversities, what exactly took you through?
Yes.
What exactly got you to accept yourself in the midst of that identity crisis? What exactly got you to be appreciative of your outer and your inner beauty? Because we know that outer beauty is only half of it. Your true beauty lies within. And I am guessing that when you accepted that, it was easier for you to accept that, hey, Christ don't make me ugly. Christ don't make me have less of a worth than anyone else. But how did you get to that point in time? How did you get through all that emotional turmoil and that financial distress?
One of the things, Tamra, through all those teary moments and, you know, disheartening moments, one, I accepted my situation. You know, I accepted that, hey, I'm broken. I came to that acceptance and that realization and acceptance that I am not okay emotionally, right? Also, I accepted the fact that, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. And overcoming, I sought support. Yes. To overcome my emotional adversity, especially during my time of, you know, studying, right? And even today, I have a support group. And that is very, very important. You know, whilst you can pray, Tamra, it is also okay to lament. It is okay to share your emotional distress. And we understand that, you see, talk therapy, it's a big thing, right? When you speak, you know, and become vulnerable in a safe space, Tamra, it heals you emotionally. A listening ear, it heals your brokenness. It helps you a lot. And that helped me. I really had and still have who to listen to me today, right? Who gives me that listening ear and helps me in my moments of vulnerability, emotional vulnerability. So then I was able to talk, but I was also scared that I would have been judged when I was younger, you know, sharing my emotional adversity. So a lot of those, Tamra, honestly speaking, they were bottled.
Mm-hmm. So it was a little more difficult to navigate with all of that pent up inside. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were bottled, right? And much of what was bottled then, today, Tamra, they're being released. Yes, they're being released today. Much of what I did not talk about in my teenage years, I prayed about them. I wrote about them. You know, I expressed myself, you know, in writing and all that. But they were never really, you know, talked about. And what helped me as well, nurse, I must let you know that I listened to other people and how they overcame various adversities. And that encouraged me and still encourages me today. Yes. Yeah, man. I read many articles, many books, you know, on as it relates to, you know, overcoming adversity, you know, the good old John Maxwell and those authors, right? Those helped me because at the time they were bottled, you know, and that's how I got through during that time. Today, you know, be more spiritually mature, emotionally mature, you know, whatever it is, whatever maturity it is, I'm able to share in my support group, you know, to the people I am accountable to, right? Where my vulnerability is concerned and my emotional well-being is concerned. And that helps me today.
Okay, good. So as you mentioned, maturity, I am sure that many of our audience, which are adolescents or teenagers, they may be a little intimidated by your resilience because you are a highly resilient individual They may be a little intimidated by your resilience and how mature you were whilst dealing with all of this. But just to humanize it a bit and to remind everyone that even as a child, you still can overcome all of that. You still yes. can become equipped with all the tools that you need. It's not too late. What I want you to share is the age range by which, well, within which you were experiencing most of this. I know that it started at 9 when you got baptized, but up until which point in time was all of this still being bottled, still being shared, still being dealt with as a child or a teenager, I should say?
In all honesty, right up until high school, right up until the high school education, you know, grade 11, grade 10, 9. Yes. Yeah. Right up until that time.
And you still and overcame.
I still overcame. Wow. A part of that, Tamara, was, and I think I mentioned it earlier, was fear. Fear of what people will think when you share your emotional state. And as a matter of fact, this taboo is concerned where men should not talk. Males or boys should be tough, and of course I agree that we should be strong individuals. But a part of being a strong man, Tamara, a part of being a real man, a part of being a man who believes in stability is also hinged on talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that a man can heal and perform or manly duties. Mm-hmm. You feel me, right? The truth is, the age range thing, now, Tamara, it varies. It really varies, because for some, they don't have a support group.
Yes.
For some, the home is in, you know, the homes are in turmoil. You feel me, right? So we can't, for the general audience, we can't put a timeline on it. But for me, it was right up to, I struggled with this kind of thing right up to grade 11, high school, thereabout. Yeah. But I still managed to find means and ways to overcome and not submitting to the negative effects of the adversities or the negative effects of, you know, my emotional adversities at the time.
Definitely. And we can appreciate where your moral compass.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for sharing all of that. The vulnerability, it is highly commendable, because not a lot of individuals would have been willing to share that, especially as a Christian. Your moral compass played a huge part in you overcoming, because you recognized who you are, whose you are, and what you stood for. And in spite of being faced with all of that backlash, all of that negativity, you stood firm in your belief of Christ and in your belief that this is who I want to be, and no one is going to take that away from me. Even when you were faced with the financial adversity, you know, many persons would have think, say, a work, you're going to go work one extra job, or you're going to go beg somebody, or you got a scholarship from somewhere. Maybe you did, but at the end of the day, prayer was what brought you through. Prayer played a huge part in overcoming your adversity. And we just want to tell you thank you
for
sharing.
And as you pray, sure thing. And, you know, as you pray, you know, it is important that you uphold your moral precepts and principles. Yeah, man. Uphold them, you know, hold on to your moral precepts and principles. Do not let them go. That's very important. Hold on to them. Hold on to your integrity, right? Hold on to your reputation. Protect your character. Yes. Navigate through the identity crisis, you know. Love who you are. Accept who you are. And it is safe to say, nurse, accept your adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Accept your adversity. Accept it. Accept it, and do not jump out of it. Go through it. Submit to it breaking you to mend you. It is breaking you to put you where you really want to be, where God really wants you to be. Your adversity is preparing you for the next level. Right. And for our young people, our adolescents, our teenagers, it is not easy. It is so hard, right? It is rough. Where pressure is constant, you know, some telling you to do this, some telling you to submit to this. What do you want for you, right? Well, as we go through adversity, Nurse Douglas, we must also reflect. Reflect on who you are, whose you are, what you're about, your strengths, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, you know, understand why you're going through this and navigate. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do this. We can overcome. We will overcome.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful story, yeah. Really. Such a truly beautiful story. And as we say goodbye in this episode very soon, I just want to ask you a few more questions. With the first one being, what about those who aren't as spiritually literate as an adolescent? Because navigating spirituality or even emotional adversities now as a teenager, it is not easy. Not a lot of persons have a firm foundation spiritually. You know, we consistently hear it. Church people judgmental or they want to change their life too quicker to something of that sort, right? So we are hearing more teenagers saying church enough for them because of the people them in there. So their spiritual literacy is so low. How do we get them or how do we help them to navigate spiritual adversities?
One of the things that we have to continue to reiterate, Tamra, and to teach is that not all Christians are bad people, right? We cannot dismiss that. We have to continue to, you know, to teach that, to reiterate that, to register that. And for those of us who are Christians, and I want your listeners to hear me clearly, for those of us who are Christians, we have to be authentic Christians who will provide an open and safe space for those who are not spiritually inclined to be able to share with us. And as they share, allow it to be safe with us, of course, you know, reflect that kind of a confidentiality and understand that this is ministry for this young individual. Happen when you provide the safe space for this person who is, you know, spiritually ignorant, what you will do is mold or mentor that young mind to help others who are spiritually, you know, ignorant. If you notice young people impact young people, Tamra, right? So if you help one, that one will help someone else. You can create that wave of ripple effect, right? But we have to provide that safe space. And we need to address as well, you know, our audience, our Christian audience, you know, our Christians or the believers, right? As a matter of fact, it is important as well to still encourage them to go to their pastors and encourage them to look for authenticity as well. What do I mean by that, right? We're not going to discuss because, but you can help them to navigate. You know, is the person consistent? Is the person always kind? You know, this godly person. Do others look up to this person? You get what I'm saying, Tamara? You have to help them to highlight the good in the believers, because we have good people out there, good, sober Christians. Help them to look for the good and to see the good in the believers. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Right? In those spiritual believers who can help them. And apart from that, also guide them to, you know, whatever institution or, you know, support group or so on, where they can get the help that they need to overcome whatever other. I agree with you, and, you know, church people, no. Help them to see the good in the believers.
True.
Because so at the end of the day, they need this.
Yes, they do.
They need this, and they have to give it a shot. Help them to give it a shot. Help them again to regain that trust, you know, and that confidence in God's people, because yes, we do have wonderful children of God.
And as you had said about fellowshipping with the younger ones, our scripture came back to mind, James 5:19-20, where it says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So we are supposed to disciple. We are. And yes, no matter how bad church people can be or won't be, there has to be one amongst the crowd that Christ have positioned for them to help you find the way.
Of course, nurse. It's just for us to allow ourselves. Of course, it's God's church.
Yes, we have to allow ourselves to be discipled. If we don't allow ourselves or avail ourselves to be discipled, then they can't disciple us.
Yes. No. And that is why I mentioned earlier in the nurse, help these young teens, these adolescents, young adults, whoever, to see the good. Help them to highlight when they're going to these persons, you know, help them, give them a checklist what to look for then. Help them with a checklist. If you see this in this person, then likely you can really talk to this person in overcoming this spiritual adversity, specifically spiritual adversity. You feel me? Help them to see the good, you know, in God's people. Yeah, man. That will help them along the way. And, you know, let it begin with us. So for me, you know, as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, listen, man, I try my very best. Put the judgmental thing aside. Provide a listening ear, because the truth is sometimes they share their adversities with you. And only by listening, Tamra, they solve their own problem, you know.
Yes.
You know, yes. Giving them that, and they will reason with you and reason with themselves to say, you know what? Because it could be because of this or because of that, and me know me will get through still. They start to encourage them.
Yes, you know, because they didn't have the opportunity to reflect before.
Yeah.
But now they do.
That is it. That is it. That is it. So you help them by listening to solve their own, or overcoming, for a better word, their own adversity in whatever form.
What would that checklist look like if there was an adolescent looking at you right now and asking you, who or what should I look out for in a Christian that can reassure me that they will be able to lead me on the straight and narrow path?
Wonderful, wonderful. A couple of things there, Tamra. One, consistency. And what do we mean by consistency? Right? Consistency in spiritual practices, consistency in community life, consistency in family life, consistency or response to young people, right? Observing how others view, the majority view, that individual or those individuals or that set of group, you know, that set, you know, that group set. The spiritual disciplines, how well they uphold these spiritual disciplines, you know, and such, but like just how they live, Tamra, because at the end of the day, if the gospel is truly in your heart, then that light, you know, we're going to see that light. I tell you that much, you know, their understanding of young people as well. Not only that, Tamra, since we're on the topic of adversity, you know, how they testify about their adversities.
Yes.
How they overcame their personal adversities. Yeah, man. And the way in which they describe how they overcame will suggest if you can really
trust this
talk to that person. Yeah, man, or go to that person. Trust me on that one.
So their life should definitely be a living
lifestyle, man. And no, we can't leave out the keyword, consistency, you know. Because you have some folks today, they're well saved, and tomorrow, the next day, or until Sunday again, they're not saved. Only, you know, not
week
that kind
on
of
and
thing.
Week off type of thing.
Right. You know, we don't want anybody who just, when they come across adversities too, they drop the Bible and they fight and carry on. We're not looking for that. You know, we're looking for people, you know, who bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love, meekness, kindness, forbearance, you know, long-suffering, gentleness, humility, and the list goes on.
Such a beautiful story. Such an inspirational story, such an unusual story. That was truly refreshing. And we just want to thank you for sharing this platform with us today. You have enlightened us on the importance of a solid foundation of Christ in children. It's a solid foundation, man, a living testimony, Reverend Wilton Bartley. If we equipped our children with a solid spiritual foundation, then we are setting them up to be better able to deal with adversities in the future, because adversities are going to come. Christ said, for his name's sake,
we should expect adversity or adversities. We ought to expect them. Why? Because they are inevitable. So if they are inevitable tomorrow, expect them. Why not? You know, expect them. Trouble will come. Trouble must come tomorrow. But guess what? The trouble will come and just take you somewhere else. May I tell you? It's just to help you. It's just to mold you and make you. Trust me. It's just to bring out the worst out of you so that you can be the best version of yourself and who God wants you to be as well. And prepares you to be there for others.
Yes, because with your experience, and it can teach another.
Definitely.
So we just want to tell you thank you for sharing such an inspirational story of how you navigated spiritual adversities and used that very, very core to overcome conflict of self-identity, the conflict of self-confidence, where you lacked self-confidence at one point in time, where you questioned yourself if Christ is really who I want to follow, if everyone is making this much fun of me, right? You use Christ to navigate financial adversity just the same, and the importance of prayer. You emphasize the importance of prayer, the importance of using that to navigate our lives and through every adversity. Stop, reflect, and ask God, what am I to learn? What are you teaching me? What's the lesson now? So we just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us on this platform and sharing such a beautiful story. Your vulnerability is truly appreciated. And we know for sure that this very episode will be touching many lives. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so very much for having me, Nurse Douglas and Sharona. It was a pleasure being here. And I look forward to coming back.
Most definitely.
Wonderful.
Most definitely. So thank you all for tuning into another episode of Mekwe Coffee and Reason. And if you like what you have heard thus far, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast channels on all platforms. Leave a comment under each episode to let us know how this podcast impacted you. And feel free to send us a message on our Instagram page at Mekwe Coffee and Reason, or via email at schoolnursedouglas@gmail.com with the names and contacts of those you'd like to see next reasoning with us. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in the Mekwe Reason series, please to let us know just the same. Now, as we say hello to a brand new week, let's remember our podcast mantra. We are all brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. As the week goes on, allow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to inspire authentic conversations, and may each episode leave you with a sense of connection, reflection, and a renewed appreciation for the simple joy of sharing thoughts over a cup of coffee. See you next Sunday on the Mekwe Coffee and Reason podcast.